We desire your prayers as we look into a scripture tonight that is one of my probably favorite scriptures in some ways anyway. And I love it. I love what it stands for. I love what it means. I love what it does. But we're going to start at another spot to get our thoughts started. We'd like to turn to 2 Samuel 23. We'll read there. 2 Samuel 23:1. Again, we desire your prayers. Now, these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, "And the man who was raised up on high, the anointed one of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. The Rock of Israel said, The Rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning, when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing up of the earth by clear shining after the rain." Have you ever watched the sunrise? I'm talking about watching it a good while before it comes up. And I don't know, I hadn't tried to see one out here. It may not be as easy here as some place I've been. But a sunrise can be one of the most beautiful things that you could ever behold. And in 2010, I can't give you an exact day, but one morning I happened to be up early and we have a beautiful view to watch the sunrise. We live on a plateau and it's up high and we can see for miles most any direction, especially south back toward Shawnee. You can see for miles and miles that way. If you go just a little bit to the north, you can see for miles and miles to the north, east, and west. And this particular morning I was up and I don't know, I got riveted to the thought of watching the sunrise. Now, one man that can give or could give one of the most vivid descriptions of sunrise is the late icon Paul Harvey. If you ever heard him talk about a sunrise, he can make it alive with no problem at all. And I heard that, and so this particular morning I was watching as the sun began to come up, and there was some clouds up higher, and some down a little bit lower, and here's your earth base down here. And so there was a kind of three or four layers of clouds, and as that sun began to come up, and these begin to turn the most beautiful hues, especially down low. And then the higher this sun got, the more beautiful and higher this hue went. Your pinks, your reds, and it went on up. And then your sun got a little bit higher, maybe up to the lowest level of clouds. And it just kept, of course, getting higher. And the beams of the sun was beginning to go out. And these clouds were the most beautiful colors. And they were beautiful and they were glorious, so to speak. One of the most greatest things in a sense I've ever seen is the sunrise on the ocean. I lived in the East almost 6 years. Becky and myself tried to see the sunrise on the ocean. We even had motel rooms that faced the ocean rooms or whatever you want to call it. And we looked and every time it would never fail. We couldn't see the sunrise because of clouds or because of storms or whatever. And never did get to see it. But in 2009 in the Outer Banks of North Carolina. Becky and I had a oceanfront hotel room, a private owned deal, and we were there and they had a deck built up between. They had wings of rooms and in the middle they had a deck that went up and it's a pretty good sized deck. And this particular morning it was a perfect morning to see the sunrise. We got out there, we got our cameras, and we stood there and we watched it. And it looked like it was just right over there. But you know it had to be miles and miles away. But that was a thrill to my heart to see the sunrise on the ocean. Just barely see it and then a little higher, a little higher, a little higher. It was different than this one was. There was no clouds in the sky in the east at all. And so consequently it was you just barely seen the yellow come up. And then a little more and a little more and we watched it for a while and so forth. And it was a beautiful depiction of the sun rising. Do you like the sun? How many of us like the sun tonight? What would you do without the sun? Let's just take it away. What would happen to you? We'd be in a mess, wouldn't we? Without its rays, we would be cold all the time. Now, I know you folks have some cold weather back here, but let's say in the middle of July and it's 20 below zero. It'd be a little bit cold, wouldn't it? All right, what about it? Without its lights, you and I couldn't see it all. I like the natural light. I like artificial light too, but I love the sunlight. To me, some of the days you've been having here is Carl days. No light breeze, sunny, just about the right temperature. That's Carl day. My congregation, they'll look at a day and they say, oh, this is the type of day Brother Carl likes. And I love beautiful days. I love the sunlight. I love it beaming down and so forth. Without its warmth, nothing would grow. Without its beauty, we would be sad. Without the sun, plants, grass, etc., they wouldn't revive in the springtime. Without the sun, the ground wouldn't dry out after rain. Without the sunlight has a great effect on the earth's weather. It evaporates water from the rivers, lakes, the oceans, and this water later falls as rain or snow. Also, the sunlight causes wind, and people use this to turn windmills, etc. We use it to help in keeping time. We use it for our direction between the east and the west. So the sun has a lot of natural things that it does, that it helps you and I in every way. And he said, he shall be as the light of the morning. When the sun rises, even morning without clouds, as a tender grass springing out of the earth by the clear shining after rain. The sun. God give us something wonderful when he give us the sun. Malachi, the 4th chapter. This is my text. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. 4:1 says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be as ashes under the soles of your feet. In the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I command unto you in Horeb, for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and the dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now then, we're getting down to the real sun. God made the natural sun way back at the creation of time. This sun, the way it is depicting it in this scripture, come along many years later. But I am thankful that the Son of Righteousness has showed up on the scene. Tonight, do you need any help? Is there anything that you need, heart, soul, mind, body, physically, anything that you need in the way of healing or blessings? The Son of Righteousness has risen to give you these things. He is here for you. He has risen for you. He died for you. But he's alive tonight, praise God. For unto you, unto every one of us individually that fear my name, if you and I fear the name of God, if we're living for him, if we're reaching out to him, if we're doing the things that please God, this Son of Righteousness is risen for you. He's your personal physician. He's your personal son. He has all power in heaven and earth. He was given for you. He died for you. He does everything he does to help you, praise God. So the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. He dispenses the light of healing and the power of healing and everything in every way that you need him to do it tonight. So Christ, by the influence of his grace and spirit, shall quicken, awaken, enliven, warm, invigorate, heal, purify, refine every soul that believes in him. Oh, tonight, it is good for the soul. It is good for the heart, the mind, the body, the emotions. It's good for forgiveness. Oh, tonight, sometimes we get into battles and we get into problems and troubles, maybe physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever it might be. And there may be times you think, will I ever get victory over this? Will I ever be healed? Will I ever be delivered? The Son of Righteousness has been risen for you, praise God. He has risen. He's come up out of the tomb. He has done everything He needs to do to finish His plan, to set it in a place whereby that He can shine and work every day of the year, day and night, where He can come in and help you no matter when it is. He can work at 3 o'clock in the morning. He can work at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or any other time He wants to work, so He can bless you in any way that you need blessing tonight. Revival meetings are sent that people may get help. They may get blessed. And that's the burden that I have tonight, since the Lord gave it to me after the message last night. He's sending something to challenge you and I that any need we might have, He's here to help you, praise God. He's here in West Virginia right now to bless you and to lift you and to heal you and to help you in any way you might need tonight. For unto you that fear My name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings. In His wings, in His warmth, His radiant, brilliant light that is going out, healing for you tonight. My old throat ain't what it used to be. I punished it for years and years, and sometimes it gives this old fellow some trouble. Lord, help us. All right, the 10th chapter of Romans. Let's start with the soul. There's a lot of people tonight that is wandering in darkness and sin. There's a lot of people out there that needs this light. They need the Son of Righteousness to rise. They need the Son of Righteousness to talk to them. They need the Son of Righteousness to work with them, to work with their soul. You need Him to work with your soul too. There's not anybody in here that don't need Him to work with you and I. Brother Archie Souter, you say that he had a man in his congregation, and that man used to say, "Remember my soul." And Brother Archie thought, well, that's kind of an odd request. This man's been saved for years. And he got to thinking about it. He thought, well, really, that's not a bad request. Remember my soul. Listen, folks, you and I need the Lord and everybody to remember our soul tonight. We're not in heaven yet. We're in the gunshot of the devil, and he's doing everything he can to hinder us and keep us from going to heaven. So consequently, we need our soul remembered. We need people to pray for you and I that we may make it. Listen, none of us is infallible. Take heed how you stand, lest you fall. There's a lot of people that's been powerful people that are today are not powerful anymore. They backslid. They've gone down. The devil has been able to get them in a way and get them away from God. And I shake my head and I pray and I beg the Lord to have mercy upon them. But your soul is valuable tonight. Your soul belongs to you. And if you're needing help in your soul tonight, the Son of Righteousness arrived with healing for that soul. Praise God. Not just salvation only, but victory, deliverance, power, whatever you and I need tonight, it's here for you, praise God. And in the 10th chapter of Romans, and in the 13th verse, he said here, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." For whosoever. Listen, tonight sometimes we get this thing so high and tight and so forth, but the bottom line is really getting saved is a very simple project. It is not a serious. It don't take a PhD to get saved. It just takes humility and being willing to pray and forsake and confess. I didn't know a whole lot when I got saved, but when I finally humbled my heart and got down the side of my back and begged forgiveness and said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner," whatever I prayed, the Lord had mercy and saved me. I wasn't a psychologist or whatever. I didn't have no big PhD or anything, but the bottom line was the Lord seen my heart. If He sees your nice heart, and we're seeking, we're asking, we're needing, even if we failed, even if we made mistakes, even if we're in a place where we don't know just how long it's going to take to get victory, the Son of Righteousness has arisen to give you that victory tonight, praise God. Call in on the name of the Lord. He made it easy. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Easy. We need to get down and we need to call on God. We need to get out and beg Him, plead with Him, "Lord, have mercy." There had been people that have struggled with things for years. There had been people that needed help off and on for years. Listen, folks, the Son of Righteousness has risen for that help. He's there tonight. He's a risen Savior. Praise God, He's alive. He's powerful. He belongs to you and I. He has sat there for as many as fear My name. He is a personal physician in every way that you and I need. He's a doctor. He's a psychologist. He's a psychiatrist. He's a healer in every way. Heart, soul, mind, and body. He can heal for grief. He can heal for everything. It does not matter what you need tonight. The Lord is healed to do that for you. Praise God. He's a risen Savior to bless you. 6th chapter of Romans, 23rd verse. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. There's a lot of people that have stayed in sin, and the wages of that sin is death. They're in a very precarious position tonight. They're all hung up and in a place where they maybe may never get any help. Alcoholics and drug addicts and people like that. There are so many different things. And I don't know much about it, but they've got a new type of deal out called vapor. And it, I don't know, it's to do with smoking somehow. And instead of nicotine and tobacco and all that, you inhale a vapor type stuff. Again, I don't know much about it. There's some cropped up in Shawnee. And I was saying something to one of the brothers. He said, all them things is cropping up all over. Now, I don't know how addictive it is. I don't know how far this thing's going to go, but according to him, and he goes all over the United States, he said, Brother Carl, every time I turn around, I see one of them places. So it's another thing of the devil. I don't imagine it can be any good at all. It's got to be wrong some way, somehow, because it's connected with smoking somehow. Again, I don't know much about it. Maybe I should have dug into it before I preached about it. But the bottom line is, people get themselves addicted to things. They get themselves in a deep pit of sin. They get involved in such a way, and the wages of the sin life is death and destruction and corruption and addiction and bondage. And it gets people in such a mess, they throw their hands up and they say, I can never get any help. But the gift of God, praise God. God has given a gift. How many gifts have you got through your life? My daddy used to give us some wonderful Christmas gifts, new cars. Now, I didn't get a new car personally, but to the family. He never did give me a car. He let me drive all his. And I didn't have to buy a car. I don't know what age I was. I'd have to try to figure it out. When I finally bought my first little Dodge Dart, some of you, Brother Mansell, you might remember my little green Dodge Dart. But I drove that thing in the Gosport in 1980 before I sold it to Brother Tommy Milo. But anyway, there is people that have been able to receive and give great gifts. The rich give immaculate gifts. They do all kind of things. But the bottom line is, God has given the greatest gift of all, and that gift is eternal life to you and I. That gift is a gift for the soul. That gift is a gift to get you and I to heaven, praise God. It costs more than any gift. All the gifts combined don't cost as much as this one gift, praise God. Because Jesus gave His life to provide this gift for you and I. He gave it up. He said, I'm going to do it. And Father, I'm going to finish it. And He did that for you and I. Whereby we can have the greatest gift of eternal life, of salvation, of things of glory and power and victory. Because the Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in His wings. Oh, tonight, do you enjoy this gift? Oh, there have been times Daddy gave us things I marveled at. I've never been able to give my family things like that. And I've given them some nice gifts. Rebecca was always the one, especially at times when she'd get me something that she thought was a special gift, my dear sweetheart had a hard time holding it back. She wanted to give it to me right then. You know, can you imagine God knowing what He was preparing for you and I? Maybe kind of had a problem of holding back. Oh, I want to give it to Him. Man, this will do everything that all the rest of it wouldn't even come close to doing. I don't know if he thought that away, but I know my sweetheart thought that away. But then I thought too, there had been times that she's got me things. My iPhone that she got me for 99 cents, she got it and she was able to keep her mouth zipped and keep it all just exactly. When I opened that, I was stunned. I had no idea that she was getting that. And she thought I was going to spoil it one day shopping for Christmas because I was inquiring. And she's praying, Lord, help him not to inquire and not to buy because I done got it for him. Well, I'm going to tell you, the Lord has given us a great gift, or God has given us a great gift in eternal life. He's given it through Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness. Oh, tonight, are you enjoying that? Are you appreciating what the Lord done? This is for your soul. This is for my soul. Listen, folks, we need to put the top value on our soul. We need to put a high priority on our soul. It's our soul. Sometimes I think we put too many priorities on everything else. But the bottom line is, we need to put a priority that I'm going to take care of my soul. I'm going to take care of it no matter what it takes. If I have to do this or this or this, I'm going to do it because that soul belongs to me and eternal life is mine if I will do what I need to do. The Son of Righteousness has risen to give me total victory and power, and I'm going to do what I need to do. Oh, tonight, are we doing that? Acts the 4th chapter in the 8th verse. And reading here, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this deed be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him whom this man stand here before you whole, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. The Son of Righteousness. This is a total, complete case of powerful, glorious healing by the Son of Righteousness. He was risen. And when Peter come by that day, and this man was begging alms, so to speak, and wanting help in the 3rd chapter, and he soon seeing Peter about to go in the temple and ask an alms, and Peter fastening his eyes upon him, when John said, look on us. He wasn't scared to have him to look on them. He wasn't scared to present something to this man. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive some of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand, the right hand, and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. The Son of Righteousness has arisen. Even in this case right here, Jesus was a risen Savior, and he was sitting in a position, and his rays of healing come down, and Peter and John took him by the hand, praise God, and the power of God entered into that body and healed him right there. And that man come up from there, was leaping and praising and shouting God, and Peter said that neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord wants us to call on Him. He wants us to call on the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. There is power for you and I tonight. Not only sinners only, but there's power for you and I to call on that name. That name belongs to you and I. That name of the Son of Righteousness is a personal name for you and I to call on day or night, praise God. And the Lord can administer because He's risen, because He has power, because He's sitting in a place to help you and I, no matter what we need, any time. I talk about 3 o'clock in the morning because I've been awake so much the last 4, 5, 6 years. At 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock, I was up at 3:15 this morning. Brother Marty and I would like to get some kind of system, as he got up at 3:30. We could have us some early morning prayer meetings if we knew the other brother was up. But do you know God has met me over and over and over. Brother Stanley come down one time, preached a message at Shawnee. And in that message, he used the scripture over here in 1 John. If we confess our sins... No, that's not the one. All right, so first verse of the second chapter of 1 John. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, he wasn't talking about the fact that if any man sin, we have an advocate, but he was saying that we all have an advocate no matter what. So one night, Rebecca, this has been a while back, this is way before she was sick the second time, this is during the nervous breakdown, and I had gone to sleep, and she had gone to sleep, and I'd had so much trouble with my legs off and on that if I could get any rest at all, I appreciated that. And anyway, she woke me up and she said, I need you to pray for me. Well, I woke up and prayed for her and the Lord blessed her and she went to sleep and I was wide awake. 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever time it was. And I started my track in my house. Now, Brother Marty knows my living room, dining room, kitchen, I just go around and around and around, sometimes down the hall and back, and I just walk. And I'm walking. And I said, Lord, I said, you blessed Becky, but I said, now who's going to pray for me? And that scripture popped in my mind that Brother Stanley had preached. And I was there and I said, Lord, will you pray for me? Will you be my advocate this morning at 3 o'clock in the morning? And I laid back down and went right to sleep. Praise God. We have an advocate with the Father. We have a Son of righteousness that's arisen. He is there. He's sitting on the right hand of God and He's there to administer any type of healing that you and I need. Praise God. It can be at 3 o'clock in the morning. We're suffering. We're having problems. And He can meet you and I and bless you right at that time. Praise God. I've had Him do it. I've had Him do it. One night, Rebecca, in the last few days of her life, she was struggling. She couldn't hardly talk anymore. And she said, we need. And she said a third word and none of us could get what she was saying. I listed every food I could think of that she could eat. She kept shaking her head and I thought, what do you need? Never thought about anything to drink. I just thinking about eating. And Sister Cheryl had worked with her all day and then Donna and I had come in the afternoon. We had done a house job together and we had come in that afternoon and I'm standing there and we need. I said, what do you need, sweetheart? We need. But she couldn't get me to understand that last word. I got Donna in there. She couldn't understand her. And I sat down on the couch by her bed. I took her hand in my hand and I just bawled and prayed. And when I got through, when I said amen, she said, water, real loud. I got the message. Said water. When I say loud, she said it loud enough that I could hear it, that I could get a hold of it. That was a quick answer by the Son of Righteousness, by the grace of God, by the power of Jesus. I got her. She couldn't suck any water. I got her ice chips and out of the dispenser in the ice box, and she munched, and she was just so happy sitting there. Oh, tonight, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, this Son of Righteousness is on the right hand to help you and I. He's here tonight to help you and I. He wants to help you and I. He's a risen Savior to help you and I. The Son of Righteousness beaming down. He has anything that you and I need in the beams of righteousness for you and I. I'm going to tell you sometimes, we struggle with envy or bitterness or jealousy or malice or whatever it might be. The devil working hard. But the beams of righteousness now beaming down and touching us and diffusing and warming us up and healing us, praise God, and we can rejoice because the power of God has touched our souls. He can do anything you need Him to do tonight, and I'm thankful for the healing power of Jesus Christ. All right, let's go to the 4th chapter of Luke. This is back where I was preaching the other morning. Just 4:18, just the one scripture. It said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of the sight to the blind and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now then, the heart. There's a lot of people out there that have heart problems tonight. If we could see what God sees, there's a lot of doctors out there that's treating people with heart problems. But that's a mighty small percentage to what's really out there with heart problems. God sees a greater heart problem, the heart problem of sin. Went to a funeral one time of a Baptist minister. His son preached this man's funeral. And he kept talking about there's a plague in the land. And he preached a pretty decent message, I'll have to admit. But when he got to the place where he could really nail it, he just sugarcoated it and left it, which made me sick. I thought the saint ministers would have just put this out. But he got to the place where he could really name it out and name the plagues and name what would do to help it. But he kept saying, there's a plague in the land. Listen, there's a heart plague in the land tonight. There's a plague of sin and destruction. And the Lord is in the business of helping everybody with a heart problem. Do you have any problems with your heart tonight? No, I'm fine. Are you? He wants to heal our heart of no matter what it is. Another scripture in 147 of Psalms. 147:1. My, the clock is flying tonight. I've raced the clock for 37, 38 years now. And I kind of get tired of it. Praise ye the Lord, for it's good to sing praises unto our God, for it's pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem and gather together the outcasts of Israel. He bindeth the broken in heart, and he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up the wounds. There's a lot of people tonight are so brokenhearted. I'm brokenhearted. My wife is dead. But the Lord has been healing me. He heals people that have grief problems. He heals people that have emotional problems. He heals people that no matter what the problem is with the heart. You know, there's all kind of things, I guess, that can happen. And they've got any more where they can put stents in and they can put balloons in and they can do all, they can do bypass surgery and they can do open heart surgery. But Brother Michael Williamson, with a natural heart, there's nothing man can do for that man. But God. I'm thinking, Lord, you got a chance right here to do a real miracle because there's nothing man can do. What they've seen on the things that they have examined that with and whatever they've done, they said there's nothing we can do. If that thing burst, our cousin and brother in the Lord is gone. Just in a few moments, he'll be out of here. But there's a lot of heart issues that people need some real healing. And sometimes we want to kind of pass over them and kind of pat them. And no, I really don't want that. And it's not time. And I want to just pet it a little bit longer. Listen, folks, sometimes we pet things too long. We need to get out and let the Lord heal that heart. We need to let Him work with that heart. He healeth the broken in heart. And He binds up the wounds. Oh, tonight, what's there? What's in there that is hindering? What's in there that is hurting? What is in there that you could use some healing? Isaiah 53:1. I want to look here a minute. No, let's go to 53:3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid it, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised. We esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. God, or Christ, was a man of sorrows. You'd think, well, He said He wept at the tomb of Lazarus. But He had a lot more sorrows than that. He had sorrows of the pressure of the devil and of people around him and the rulers and people trying to destroy him all the time. The sorrows that he dealt with, the sorrows that he went through and so forth, he qualifies him to deal with our sorrows. No matter what it might be, he's a man of sorrow. He's acquainted with grief. He knows the pressures and so forth. And sometimes you and I, we think, well, the Lord don't understand this, but He does. He understands anything we're going through. I wondered that too. I thought, well, he didn't lose a wife. But I guarantee you, he's been great at helping me. I have no fault in the way Jesus, the Son of Righteousness that's risen with healing in his wings. I have no fault in anything he's done for me in my grief. He has been wonderful. But there's others besides. There's not just companion grief. There's all kind of grief out there. And he's acquainted with grief. And then he said he's borne our griefs. And he's carried our sorrows. He is able to step in there and help you. No matter what the heart issue might be, the Lord wants to get in there and work with that. Let him in there. Let him in there. Ask him. Sister Margaret, in dealing with Sister Maxine Busby, when they lost their child in a car wreck in 1980 or 81, the fall of 80, September something of 80, 15th, 16th. Maxine was brokenhearted. It nearly killed her, killed both girls there, all, I think both of them almost at the scene of accident. One might have lived a little bit. She didn't get to tell her daughter goodbye. I could go on and on about this, and she's told me of her situation, but here's the bottom line. She was suffering so with the grief that her Aunt Margaret told her, said, let the Lord heal your heart. Let the Lord heal your heart. Let the Lord heal your heart. And Maxine's telling me, Carl, let the Lord heal your heart. I'm thinking, how's the Lord heal the heart, so to speak? Go inside. Not an outward healing in, but an inward healing out. The Lord can get down to the depths of the pain and the suffering and heal that. And she told me, Maxine said, there's been numbers of times that she's literally broke out in grief and weeping and crying and so forth. And she said, Lord, send me some fresh comfort. And the Lord would stop her tears just like that. And he just kept working with her and working with her till she said, I'm well now. He healed her. Oh, tonight, the Lord wants to heal your heart. Is there something in there? Maybe Brother Marty doesn't know about it. Maybe even your companion don't know about it. Oh, but tonight, Rebecca had a real problem with, because she lost her mother, she struggled with that for years. And finally she went to Maxine. Now, we were married. Probably, oh, I don't know how long we'd been married when she went over there, and she spent, I think, this was brought out in the funeral. 5 hours, I think, one afternoon. And they went over this thing from top to bottom. I didn't know. I mean, I knew. I knew she was having problems. I knew that. But sometimes, maybe a companion doesn't just unload. You might be a preacher and they might do it, but, and she didn't just totally unload. But somehow she knew Maxine was able to get to her and to do for her and to help her that I couldn't help her. And she unloaded, and they worked on that, and she come out of there with some healing. Come out of there with some healing. It affected her. Oh, tonight, maybe we have not told very many, if any. Maybe nobody knows about the pain, the things that we need the help with. And the Lord is saying, let me heal your heart. Let me heal it inside now. Let me get in there and work with it. All we have to do is open our heart door wide open. And the Lord can work with it. If we'll let him. If we'll let him. Brother Salmon's preached a message. I didn't hear this. But he told about it in another message, I believe it was. Maybe he told me personally. I don't know. This has been a number of years ago. And I think he preached it right here at home, I think. I don't think it was out in the field somewhere. I thought he said he preached it right here in Green Bank. And he talked about that some people kind of get a shell around their heart. And he said, you need to bust that shell and break it and get it where the Lord can get in there and work. If I remember what he was preaching on. Oh, tonight, have we gotten calloused? You know, people get calloused. I mentioned how I don't want calloused hands. I need soft hands, so to speak, so that I can rub it across things and I can feel anything on anything that I can reach, get cleaned off of that if I can't see it right off. Because you can clean things a lot of times and you can do it real fast and you may leave something you may not realize it's there unless you really get out and get to look at it. But you can rub your hand across it and I can feel it. There's a little speck. Let's see, it's right there. Got it. I got it. Oh, the Lord says He's got it if we'll let Him. If we'll let Him work with it, if we'll let Him take it in our hand, in His hand, and say, I've got it, this is what you need to do, child. If we will allow Him to get in there and work with it, He's able to do it. The Lord healeth the broken heart. He's acquainted with grief. He's a man of sorrows. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Let's go to Revelation 22 and 1. Revelation 22 and 1. The mind. Heart, soul, mind, every way that the Lord needs, He can heal. There's a lot of mind problems out there today. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. This is 22 and 1 of Revelation. The midst of the street of it on either side of the river was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielding her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. This tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month. It's in the midst. It's available. It's for you and I. It's for you and I to get what we need, so to speak. And it said it is for the healing of the nations. There is a lot of mental or mind, let's call it mind problems. There's a lot of mental scars out there. We'd be shocked if we knew how bad it was. There has been people that have been abused as children. There have been people and they carry that, scars of that for years and years and years. The Catholic Church has done some of the greatest damage to their people of any body of people anywhere. In what they've done that had been opened up, and these men have come out years down the road and telling what these men done to them. It's happened in sports field. It's come out in sport. What was it? Pennsylvania University or whatever. That man making a prey on them boys and so forth. And it finally come out years later. Them men have emotional scars and mental scars and scars that's on their minds. And they carry that for years and years. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know what all psychiatrists or psychologists to do, but the Son of Righteousness can work with that. He can work with that. He can get in there and heal that. He can get in there and bless that. The healing of the nation, the tree, the leaves of the tree were for the healing. Healing of the mind. Oh, tonight, there's many, many, many. There's been abuse cases on the ladies' side from people. There had been molestation cases of serious, well, outright rape and stuff like that. That I hear, I don't know anything about that except what I read and so forth, but they say it does extreme damage to the mind of the women that's involved in that. Oh, tonight, no matter what it is, no matter how deep it is, no matter how serious it is, and the people, they don't know maybe what to do. I've read cases in Abby and Ann, where people have gone to counselors and so forth, and maybe it's not done a whole lot of good at all. Well, switch counselors. Find Jesus! Find the Son of Righteousness. Don't worry about those psychiatrists, those psychologists out there. Come to one that can heal. Those men can tell us a lot. They can do some things. And I've never had anything to do with them. The closest I ever got was I helped clean some offices one time that belonged to some psychiatrist or psychologist, whatever what. I done that one time, helped another person. We cleaned their office. I was there one or two times, not very many times. And the bottom line is, maybe they do help some people, but I guarantee you there's a lot of people they really can't help. But Jesus can help. He can get in there and the Son of Righteousness can get in there and just diffuse the healing light, the healing truth, the healing power and get it in there. And it don't take Him 30 minutes or 30 hours. These people, they want you to come back over and over. And they charge you big bucks so they can drive their Cadillacs and live in their big homes and eat their fine steaks. But the bottom line, Jesus just wants to heal and save and deliver and bless, whereby you and I can come out of there a well person. Let's go to Matthew 4 and 23. All right, let's talk about the healing of the body for a few minutes. This is healing in every way. This is not just one form of healing. This is a total healing. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. His fame went out throughout all Syria, and they brought in him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. He healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. He healed them. He healed them. On the physical line, what do we need tonight? What do we need? We need to have faith in God. He can heal us. 6 and 54 of the good book of Mark says this. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him and ran through the whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets. They besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Can we touch Christ tonight? He's a risen Savior with power to heal us physically. There's not anything. Somebody says, well, you people trust the Lord and die. I guarantee you there's a lot more people in the graveyards by the hand of doctors than there is among the saints. God has healed and healed and healed and healed. One of the greatest miracles I've ever seen is sitting right there. I marvel at Brother Mansell. My daughter, she told me, said, Dad, she couldn't believe it. She wants to be a doctor. And if she has her way, she will be a doctor some way. And that's not my desire. I've tried to talk that girl out of it till I'm blue in the face. Her mother tried to talk her out of it. And it likes a brick wall. It ain't getting nowhere. The Lord has healed His people. There's not anything in the catalog of disease, afflictions, or sickness in any way that the Lord can't heal. Not a thing. But I've had doctors tell me, with my own dad, they said that it's up to the Lord now. We have done all we can do. It's up to Him. If I remember right, he pointed up and he said, it's up to the Almighty now. I appreciate that. But the bottom line was, Dr. Horst was saying, I can't do any more. I've never had the Lord tell me that. When I needed healing, He was able to administer. The Son of Righteousness shall ride with healing in His wings, praise God. He has healed me over and over and over. I'm still suffering with my legs. But the bottom line is, He has healed me many, many, many times. Becky was suffering, and I was suffering. Sister Cheryl Doolittle had to do a double duty, so to speak, because I was suffering so much in my shoulders from a pinched nerve, I couldn't even raise my head up. I didn't comb my hair, I guess, for a day or two. I didn't even shave for a while. I was in so much agony and pain that finally Cheryl said, you go over there and you stay there. She banned me to my bedroom because you're upsetting your wife. I knew I was. Her nerves were too fragile. And I was in so much agony. I was almost, well, I was crying, I was moaning. I had pain shooting through all the way to the top of my head till I couldn't hardly stand it. But the Lord come down. He come down and He touched me. One night when this whole thing started, I tried to sleep in bed. Donna was there caring for her mother. And this was the first night of, well, I don't know if it was the very first night, but it was one of the first, and I tossed and turned and tossed and turned till about 2 something in the morning. I wasn't getting a bit of sleep. And I finally thought about a heating pad. So I got up and I went and I got the heating pad and I made a cruise by Rebecca, as I call it, to check on her. And she looked up and she said, He blessed me and He's going to bless you too. And I went to my bedroom, climbed in my recliner, put the heating pad there, turned it on. And before it got hot, I was sound asleep. He touched me instantly. And He blessed me just like Rebecca Ann said He would. The Lord is able to heal. Brother Matt Gillenbeck, he was a child. I was pastor at Guthrie, serving there. He was quite sick, quite ill. Brother Philip and Sister Rosie called Rebecca and I to come and pray. And we talked and everything a little bit there. And then we anointed and we got down to pray and the power of God come down in that room. We all felt it. When we got up to leave, Matt was well. He was well right there. He was well. It was an instant healing right there. Another time that young man come to the altar. He was fixing to go to Africa. He had been horsing around, so to speak, being a young man, and he'd hurt his ankle. You remember that, Brother Marty? He couldn't hardly walk. And he's going to have to carry bags and so forth for Brother Michael. And he said, I'd like the Lord to give me a touch. He come down the altar. Several others gathered around, anointed and prayed. One minister prayed for him. Another one was real inspired at the end of that prayer and prayed. He got up on the altar. He went up that way and he come back halfway. He said, I'm healed. And he took off. Instant healings by the power of God. Oh, tonight, I've never known a doctor yet that can get you and take you and make you jump out of bed well. They can't do it. They can do a lot of things, but they can't do what the Son of Righteousness can do. They can't heal you instantly. They can help you. I'm not saying a doctor cannot help you. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is Jesus is the greatest healer that has ever been born of mankind. And He's still healing today. He can do anything we need Him to do. Heart, soul, mind, and body. Oh, tonight, what would you like the Lord to do tonight? What do you need Him to do for you tonight? He wants to help you. The Son of Righteousness arrives with healing in His wings. He wants to help you in every way. Oh, tonight He loves us and He wants to bless us. He's interested in blessing us. What do you need tonight? Oh, these revival meetings are sent for our good. But we are the key to whether we get the good or not. Like I said, I talked about the message I preached the first and before, how we react to it. Well, the same thing with the message on priority. Do we put enough priority to get the help that we need in this meeting? If we need help, are we willing to get it? Are we just going to go on and on and on when the Lord says, I'm healed, I'm here to help you. I'm healed. I'm the healer to help you, if I get it out right. I'm the healer to help you. I want to help you tonight. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to reach out to Him and get what the Lord has for you and I tonight? 113 of Psalms in closing. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high? Who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the needy out of the dunghill, that He may set him on with princes, even the princes of His people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. He said here, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Now faith. Now faith. In 1983, when I got married, we were on our honeymoon and I got sick. I had a high fever. I ached all over. I still don't know what was wrong with me, but I was sick. Becky had gotten sick first before we ever left. We were out there, her and I was sick. That ain't no fun. Be on your honeymoon and be sick. She called around for prayer. Then she started praying. She prayed all around the world and prayed for her husband last. When she got through praying, the Lord had visited me while she was praying. The Lord told me, He said, you need to thank God for your healing. I'm thinking, I'm not well. He said, you need to thank the Lord for your healing. I said, I'm not well. He said, thank the Lord for your healing. I said, Lord, I'm not well. She got up. I said, get the Bible. we read some scriptures. I don't remember what they were. I quoted a scripture too, and I said, "Now then, dear, I want you to lay hands on me and pray for me." And she did. And while she was praying, I started thanking God for my healing. I started saying, "Thank you, Lord, for healing me." I wasn't healed yet, but I started thanking God by faith for healing. We can do that. We can be inspired, no matter healing of the body, heart, soul, or mind, whatever it might be, the Lord can come along. He's trying to do this tonight to inspire us that He can do anything that we need Him to do. He was inspiring me that night. I can heal you, but you need to start thanking God for it before I ever do it. And I did. And as I began to think, and as she kept praying, I got better and better. And as I went through the day, I just got better and better. I come up out of that bed, I got dressed, and we took off doing sightseeing, whatever we was doing in Nashville, Tennessee. That was the beginning of healing by faith, inspiration of faith, and healing of divine healing right there. Now, like I said, that don't just apply to one side of it. That applies to any of it. You and I can come to God and approach Him, the Son of Righteousness, and we say, "Lord, we need You to help us." He can inspire us. He's trying to inspire us to say, "I can be healed tonight," of whatever it might be. And we can start praising God, thanking God, rejoicing. "Thank You, Lord, for the healing. The Lord's going to help me. The Lord's going to heal me. He's going to deliver me." Whatever be the need tonight, He is in the business. The Son of Righteousness shall arise. For unto us that fear His name, a personal healer, Savior, and blesser, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in His wings. Let's stand. Have a song, please.